I'm Chris.
And I'm Mike.
And this is Lonnie Donegan.
Now this is the story about the Rock Island Line. Now the Rock Island Line is a railroad line and it runs down into New Orleans. And just outside of New Orleans is a big toll gate. And all the trains that go through the toll gate, why, they gotta pay the man some money. Unless, of course, they got certain things on board, then they okay, and they don't ever have to pay the man nothing. And right now, we see a train, she's coming on down the line, and when she get up near to the toll gate, the depot agent shout down to the driver, he want to know what he got on board. So he say, what you got on board there, boy? And the driver, he sing right on back down the depot agent, tell him what he got on board. Yeah, the way he sing. I got sheep, I got cows, I got horses, I got pigs, I got all livestock, I got all livestock, I got all livestock. And the man say, well, he say, you all right then, boy, you don't have to pay me nothing, just get him on through. So the train go through the toll gate, and as he go through, he got up a little bit of steam and a little bit of speed. And when he sees me on the other side of the toll gate, the driver shout back down the line to the man. Of course, he don't care what he say now, going home and going down the Rock Island Line. So he said, but I fooled you, I fooled you. I got pig iron, I got pig iron, I got all pig iron. He said, I tell you where I'm going, boy. Going down the Rock Island Line. Yes, yes, he's a mighty good road. Oh, well, the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is a road to ride, yeah. The Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. And if you want to ride, you got to ride it like a fine. You get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Well, I may be right, I may be wrong. I know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is a road to ride, yeah. The Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. And if you want to ride, you got to ride it like a fine. You get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Cats in the cover, but he don't see me. Down the Rock Island Line, I see the mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is a road to ride. The Rock Island Line, I see the mighty good road. And if you want to ride, you got to ride it like a fine. You get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Hallelujah, I'm safe from sin. The good Lord's coming for to see me again.
Well, that was Lonnie Donegan's Rock Island Line. Pretty good, huh? And we're going to tell you why it was the most important record in British musical history, where it came from, and how it changed British pop music forever.
This is what it was like in 1956, the year that Rock Island Line hit the charts.
Oh, 20 tiny fingers, 20 tiny toes, two angel faces, each with a turned up nose.
And the other one's got a big bald spot.
Exactly like his pop.
Those were the Stargazers. The Stargazers were a good band, but along with David Whitfield and Guy Mitchell, they represented good old middle-of-the-road music, which was played constantly by the Beeb, and the charts were absolutely full of it. It was music for your mums and dads, with the odd novelty song for kids.
Now we're fortunate, Mike, that Skiffle came along then.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know, skiffle was black American slang used to describe loose acoustic jam sessions, jug bands, often performing at rent parties where a hat would be passed round to pay the rent.
It was exciting times back then, when young British kids rocked up US folk and folk blues, giving American folk singers like Woody Guthrie and Leadbelly the treatment on cheap or homemade instruments.
Yeah, well, skiffle was a strange phenomenon. Hundreds of bands, but very few chart hits. Lonnie Donegan led the way, followed by the Vipers, Ken Collier, Chas McDevitt and Nancy Whiskey. But everybody jumped on the bandwagon. Singers such as Dickie Valentine and even the Stargazers had skiffle-influenced records, but they had no influence on the charts.
Yeah, OK, Mike, you've got to remember, life was pretty austere back in post-war Britain. At 14, you went into long trousers and became your dad. In that post-war greyness and uniformity, every kid wanted to be in a skiffle group. The craze took over the whole country, and every town sprouted bands with washboards and T-chest basses and cheap guitars.
Yeah, well, I mean, the seeds of British rock were sown in the 1950s, when skiffle emerged out of the embers of the British Chad jazz boom. The Beatles' roots were in the Quarrymen skiffle group. Most of the British beat bands started in skiffle groups, and almost every guitar god from the 60s and 70s, Jimmy Page, Eric Clapton and Jeff Beck, all started in skiffle groups.
For all its impact in Britain, skiffle failed to make an impact in the USA, and we sailed along as a minor backwater, and thus we would have stayed.
However, the legacy of skiffle wasn't really the music, but it did teach kids they didn't need expensive lessons to play the guitar. And back in the 70s, I always remember it was learn three chords and you can form a band. But in the 50s, it was learn one chord and you can form a band. And it also created a vibrant club scene with thousands of small bands playing to teenagers in search of that excitement.
Yeah, and in the ports like Liverpool and London, the merchant seamen were bringing back R&B and rock and roll rarities that weren't being played on the staid old Beeb and certainly weren't featuring in the British charts.
Yeah, skiffle had been replaced by a British rock scene with Cliff Richard and the Shadows, Billy Fury and Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, but it really failed to make an impact abroad. But it was out of this scene that the Beatles were born and learned their trade, just as did lots of other bands. But prior to British beat, music on the pop scene in the 1960s was very sanitised and it was overproduced and lightweight. And the BBC set the tone by playing, for want of a better word, crap.
And this was a prime example.
That's enough of good old Mark.
Yeah, well, all this came to a head in 1963 when the Beatles burst upon the scene. They propelled Britain into the forefront of the international scene.
One, two, three, four! Look at
was the first track on the second side of the Beatles' first album. It was also the first Beatle track I was ever aware of hearing. I remember sitting as a 13-year-old in my friend Tony Hum's bedroom. He played it to me and it blew my mind. I'd never heard anything quite as exciting.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the rest of that year, 1963, Brian Epstein's stable dominated the charts, with a few others getting in on the act. They were a nice, cleaned-up stable of acts all in suits, with infectious chirpiness of the boys next door.
Yeah, such as Jerry and the Pacemakers. That's what EMI wanted the Beatles to put out as their first single. Fortunately, they refused.
Yeah, well, sanitised or not, it was a massive sea change that swept most of the established stars away, and no longer did Cliff and the Shadows rule.
Those Merseybeat bands delved into US R&B and rock and roll, and they copied bands like the Drifters. This is the Searchers version of the Drifters' number, Sweets for My Sweet.
Sweets for my sweet, sugar for my honey. Your first sweet kiss thrills me so. Sweets for my sweet, sugar for my honey. I'll never ever let you go. If you want to let's start a chance so brightly, to match the stardust in your eyes.
Charts were full of wholesome groups like Billy J. Kramer, The Foremost, The Merseybeats, Freddie and the Dreamers, and of course The Beatles.
But behind that homely facade was the real thing. Brian Epstein had taken the boys out of leather jackets, jeans and cowboy boots, and had barbered their greased hair and tamed the recordings for the dowdy old Beeb. But the rawness of the music was still evident in the clubs, and came through onto vinyl every now and again.
Yeah, I mean, this is a live recording by the Big Three, who John Lennon thought were probably the best rock and roll band to come out of Merseyside.
Hi there, all you cave dwellers. This is Bob Willis saying welcome to the Best of Cellar. We've got the hi-fi high and the lights down low, so here we go with the Big Three show.
See the girl with the dabber.
Yeah, Mike, I would love to have been there in that sweaty cavern club. What an atmosphere. And those three guys were arguably the best band to come out of Liverpool.
Yeah, well, that live EP was tremendous. Just four tracks. And to think that they recorded the whole show and then Decca wiped the tape, leaving only four numbers.
They weren't the only ones. This is the Merseybeats with another raw-sounding Bo Diddley track. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover.
You can't judge an apple by looking at the tree. You can't judge honey by looking at the bee. You can't judge a sister by looking at the brother. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover. Oh, can't you see? Whoa, you misjudge me. Looking at the golf, come on, yeah. Whoa, oh. Come a little closer, baby. Hey, what else I gotta say? You got your radio turned down too low. Turn it up, yeah. You can't judge sugar by looking at the cane. You can't judge a woman by looking at her man. You can't judge a sister by looking at her brother. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover. Oh, can't you see? Whoa, you misjudge me. I look like a farmer, but I'm a lover. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover. Come on. Whoa.
What different sound that was compared to all those Merseybeats soft little chart singles like I Think of You and It's Love That Really Counts.
Yeah, it sounds like a different band. And of course, there were a few singles put out that captured something of that raw excitement that was to be found in the clubs. Things such as Everything's Alright by the Mojos and Chan Romero's Hippie Hippie Shake by the Swingin' Blue Jeans.
God, I just love those records. Let's hear a bit of that Mojos.
Let me hold your hand, be your loving man.
Well, it didn't take much. Once the lads saw the girls' reaction to the guys in the bands, suddenly every kid wanted to be in a beat group. There were loads of fairly unsung heroes in those Mersey beat bands. Some were brilliant and really captured that raw sound, like the Undertakers with Jackie Lomax on vocals.
Catalogue of 50s R&B and rock and roll out there in the States, plus a lot of new stuff emerging from the black R&B labels. Most of it had never been heard over here, because the Beeb had a rather cultured attitude. One DJ even went so far as to say they were saving the British public from an onslaught of rubbish.
So what was all this rubbish they were saving us from, Mike?
Well, there were all those US rockers. They'd been shut up in the USA by the Payola scandal in the 50s, then there were R&B artists. Very little had made it onto the Beeb. Rockers like Chuck Berry were rich pickings.
Oh, I used to love Chuck Berry. Let's grab a bit of Chuck. This is Roll Over Beethoven.
Jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rocking pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. Caught the rolling off the rider sitting down at a rhythm review. I roll over Beethoven, they're rocking in two by two. Well, if you feel it and like it, go get your lover, then reel and rock it. Roll it over, then move on up just a trifle further, then reel and rock with. Run another, roll over Beethoven, dig these rhythm and blues. Oh!
know she wiggle like a glowworm, dance like a spinning top. She got a crazy partner, you ought to see him reel and rock. Long as she got a dime, the music won't never stop. Roll over, Beethoven. 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 Dig to the rhythm and blues.
Chuck was a bit of a bright spark. He'd honed in on the teenage market with songs about fast cars, school and young love, and he created a whole new style in the process. But then his career was blighted. He was arrested and imprisoned on what was likely a trumped-up charge of taking a prostitute across a state line. It was probably the US government's campaign to shut down rock and roll in the 50s. For some reason, they considered rock was a bad influence on American youth.
Yeah, well, whatever they thought, that didn't worry Mersey groups. Chuck's songs, such as Roll Over Beethoven, Rock and Roll Music and Maybelline, were staple Merseybeat fodder, and they were covered by the Beatles, Gerry and the Pacemakers and most of the other Mersey bands.
Other R&B acts were not quite so well known, but there was a lot of them, and there was quite a range to choose from. This was a male vocal group called The Contours.
You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake 'em down.
Contours were an R&B vocal group who were feeding the various dance crazes that were sweeping the states, the twist, mashed potato, pony, hully gully and shake, etc. These dances didn't catch on at all in England to the same extent as the states, but Do You Love Me was a big hit for Brian Poole and the Tremolos, as well as the Dave Clark Five. And Farren's Flamingos probably did the definitive version, as well as the other Contours number, Shake Sherry Shake.
Well, this is another R&B guy who was popular with the Stones and the Beatles, and a lot of others as well. This is Arthur Alexander.
nice mean girl to set you free, girl. You say he loves you more than me. Well, I will set you free. Go with him. Go with him. But Anna, girl, before you go now, I want you to know now, I still love you so. But if he loves you more, go with him. All of my life I've been searching for a girl to love me like I love you. Oh my. But every girl I've ever had breaks my heart and leaves me sad. What am I, what am I supposed to do? Oh, Anna, just one more thing, girl. Give back my ring to me, and darling, you'll be free to go with him.
Alexander was another obscure R&B singer who provided a number of songs covered by Merseybeat and later beat bands. These included You Better Move On, which was covered by The Stones, You're the Reason, and I Need a Shot of Rhythm and Blues by Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, which made the top 30.
It wasn't just the male groups that were being covered. Girl vocal groups were also prime candidates. This was the time when the Ronettes, Shangri-Las, Supremes and Crystals were riding high in the charts. This is one of those girl vocal groups that wasn't riding quite so high. This is the Cookies.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cookies were an unknown girl group who backed a lot of other singers, such as Little Eva on the Locomotion. A song by Carol King. Carol, of course, went on to big things with Tapestry in the 1970s, but the Beatles covered this on their first album.
But then there was also this guy who started up Tamla Motown, Berry Gordy. His first hit was with Barrett Strong's Money, That's What I Want.
I mean, Berry Gordy set up Tamla Motown. Money, his first release, was a must for nearly every band at the time, especially after the Beatles covered it on With the Beatles. It was quite a riff.
And this is another Motown group, this time a girl band. This is the Marvelettes.
My boyfriend.
They were a rather better-known female vocal group than the Cookies. They were on the Tamla Motown label, and that was a song that was also covered by the Beatles.
I mean, this song, Please Mr. Postman, is still popular today. I mean, it was covered by the Carpenters in the 70s, and it's been covered by lots of other artists since. And this was supposedly the rubbish the Beeb was protecting us from.
Other popular artists to be covered were the Coasters, the Isley Brothers, Larry Williams, Carl Perkins, Little Richard, Buddy Holly, Lloyd Price, Smokey Robinson, Ray Charles and Gene Vincent. There was a lot of rubbish out there, Mike.
Yeah, well, in 1964, it all suddenly broke in the States. First the Beatles erupted, as they had done in England. You can't imagine it. There was pandemonium. Beatlemania took on a new dimension. When they arrived in New York, 7 out of the American top 10 were Beatles songs. Beatles albums were selling like singles. Ed Sullivan had his biggest ever audience when the Beatles were on. Beatles wigs and merchandise were selling like hotcakes. Radio stations were playing non-stop Beatles. It was hysteria.
The Beatles were bigger than Elvis. They were followed by a host of Mersey groups. These British bands took American R&B and rock and roll back to American white kids and rocked America to its core. Rock and roll was back with a vengeance.
The Beatles really scored by writing their own songs. This is one of the best of the early Beatles.
She loves you, yeah.
I remember hitchhiking around France when I was 14 and all the short-haired French kids stepping out on the road to let us pass and shouting, yeah, 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 at us.
Good old Britain was suddenly the hippest place on the planet. On the back of this, every Mersey Beat band broke in the US and even Herman's Hermes went down a storm.
Ironically, it was all over in England. Mersey Beat was a dead duck. It had lasted a year. Only the Beatles and Searchers would really survive. The rest fell by the wayside to be superseded by a rawer, more bluesy sound with a bunch of British beat bands that followed on in the wake of Mersey Beat to dominate the world. They were led by the Rolling Stones, The Who, Animals, Yardbirds, Kinks, Them and the Small Faces. The next wave were rowdier, more unkempt, and even more original. Tin Pan Alley was left to rot.
started by that Lonnie Donegan number, Rock Island Line. Britain went on to lead the way and took the world by storm. They woke up the sleeping giant of the States in the process, but for the next decade, it was Britain who ruled the world.
But then that's another story, or two.
So it's goodbye from the rocking chair.
Keep on rocking.